Now it's time for a discussion in search of truth, dealing with current topics relating to your world, life, and spiritual growth in Christ. Now in the studio today is the host of True Path Talk.
This is Pastor Jeremy Wilson once again in the studio here at True Path Radio, and you're listening to True Path Talk. And we're glad to finish up this interview that we did just a few days ago with Pastor Brad Broaddus of Radcliffe, Kentucky. As I mentioned before, he's been pastoring there at that church since August of 2015. He and his wife, Amy, have been married since 2005, and they have four children. He produced two videos at this point as we did the recording. One was titled Pastor's Response to State Order Banning Meetings, and it's had quite numerous views. It's been a help to many pastors and churches. He also posted a second video titled History of the Coronavirus versus the Spanish Flu with a Seattle Overview. And with that said, we're going to get right into you here in just a minute with the remaining portion of that interview. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I was reminded in Psalm 78, and the Bible says there, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." But he goes on here, and he talks about in verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." And he talks about this testimony to the generation and the future generations to come. And that's one of the things that we've neglected in the not only just in our society, but also Israel did, and that is passing down to the next generation the stories and the workings of God. One thing that men never learn is they never learn from history. If we go back and look at history, this is not the first time that our nation has dealt with any type of crisis like this. If we look back, I believe that we really can find an example, an illustration of something to do or not to do, and to learn from history. I hope you enjoy this remaining portion of the interview that I did with Pastor Broaddus, and so here we are.
I think it's helpful to step back and see if we have maybe been clinging too hard to a structure and realize that, you know, hey, the church is going to make it at the end of this, I believe. I mean, did God stop caring about us because the government banned meeting in a building? Yeah, I mean, did God stop taking care of us? Yeah, you know, I've seen people worried about money. And one of the blessings was I read the positive stories coming out of all of this, where the minister said, you know what, we're actually doing better. So you're talking about the end of World War I, you know, the greatest war in history, one of them, and you're talking about the Spanish flu, which was by all means worse than what this is, you know, as of right now. And they said, we're doing better. You know, financially they were doing better. Spiritually, they canceled revival services because they said, we don't need to stir the people up spiritually. They're already hungry. So they flocked back to the churches. There's one story where a guy said, I met with a prominent woman in the city today, and she was kind of hit and miss before, and she just kind of, you know, didn't take it seriously. But she said, now that I've been out and I realize what it was doing for me, she said, I'm going to be in church. I'm going to take it a lot more seriously. I'm going to be in every service that I can now. And they just told stories like that where people were responding. They were coming back hungry. You know, what really got me on all this trail was I thought 1918, and I was thinking, well, what did Billy Sunday do? You know, if the Spanish flu was going on, what was Billy Sunday doing? Because, I mean, he had thousands of people that were flocking to services. And I said, what happened there? And when I looked at his quote as far as saying, you know, we're going to work with the city and we're going to do whatever we need to, it was the quote that I mentioned at the end of that video, and basically said, we're going to work with the city and we're going to do it cheerfully. We'll do it gladly for the health of the public. And I thought, you know, here's a man that was, I mean, he was eaten up with revival. I mean, he wanted nothing more than to see it. You know, he also thought he should work with the government, who was not anti-church. They were not anti-preaching Christ. They're not anti-prayer. And I've seen, like I said before, a lot of governors and a lot of our governor here, you know, not that I agree with him on everything, but he said, we need you to do that. We need you to reach out. We need you to pray. We need you to do these things. He's talked about faith. He's talked about other things. Now, we can say it's empty and all that stuff if we want to, but I'm just glad that he's up there saying it.
Sure.
I mean, he's not up there saying stop.
Did you run across quite a bit of information in the news articles you were looking at with what we would refer to as a revival that hit after time?
I don't know if I'd say revival because the newspapers didn't quite mention that other than the words of the ministers themselves. You know, where they said the people were really ready to get back. You know, the mayor of Louisville said, ring the church bells at 11 o'clock, everybody gather in your homes for a time of prayer. You know, so we can sit there and fuss and fight that the mayor canceled our churches, or we can just be thankful that he's saying, hey, gather together for a time of prayer and worship. You know, this is the pastor asking for the church. I don't know if the newspapers necessarily reported it outside of the quotes from the ministers who are actually taking it as a positive, because they said it's made people stand back and realize that some people were merely attached to a church structure. You know, when they were without church, they realized that I don't have a walk with God. I am spiritually empty. The only place I've been getting spiritual nourishment is church. I've not done anything at home. I've not read the Bible at home. I've not prayed at home. And he said what it's made people realize is, you know, you were actually getting fed milk at church. You never learned how to go eat meat on your own. And he said it was a shocker for a lot of Christians to realize that their spiritual life was kind of empty. Like they depended on church too much rather than have their own personal walk with God. And that's what I got out of what some of the churches were saying and responding to. And, you know, economically, I mean, we don't read about the Great Depression until 1928, you know, when Black Tuesday hit. So it's like, this is 10 years later, and never in my study of history or when I went to school did they ever talk about, well, the economy crashed 10 years later because there was 2 months that they banned everything back here in 1918, you know. I don't remember hearing that. So the economy crashed because of complications of World War One and all those kind of things, but they never mentioned this Spanish flu.
Did you run across any comments or even, I say, writings concerning Billy Sunday? Is a little more detail as far as how he may have ministered or those guys like that during that period of time?
There was, I don't know about Billy Sunday. They just kind of report on his meetings. They report on his preaching. And he was allowed to hold, like, limited services. So he basically did what he could, and then he was fine with canceling whatever they asked him to cancel. I did read a lot about the ministers and teachers. So ministers and teachers actually started serving in the hospitals. So ministers were working in the hospitals. Ministers were working in with the sick. Teachers from the schools were working in the hospitals. They were working with the sick, and they weren't just staying home. There's actually some reports where churches were turned into hospitals. So they would, since they had an empty building, they actually started sending people to the church because they were running out of beds in the hospital or wherever else they had set up. They'd actually set up hospital medical service in the churches, and they would be spending. So they said, yeah, ministers didn't get a break during that whole time. They said they're actually busier than what they normally were, because what a greater time to minister, you know, in times of need. I did actually find that ministers weren't just sitting around. They actually got involved in efforts to raise money, for the, you know, to help pay for all the medical services. And, you know, there was a lot that joined Red Cross. You know, they would help out there. Same thing with the teachers. I just love the fact that rather than sit back and fight all day about what they should or shouldn't do, they made the decision quickly and they served.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I don't see back then that I do see now, is that major resistance. And I don't think there's too much major resistance, but, you know, maybe a little bit more than what I get to feel back then. Maybe if I lived back then, it would be different. But, you know, by and large, the newspaper articles were positive about it. And you can see the newspaper articles in our day are very negative about churches who decide to hold services. And it was the same thing back then, you know, but churches tried to protest, theaters would try to protest, and the bands basically were always upheld. I've got an article that says Board of Health refuses to lift restrictive order, and that's there's a ban on theaters, schools, and churches will remain in force. I like the spirit that I would see among some of them, where, I mean, talk about the servant mindset. They would just go serve in a hospital. You know, they would go donate time and service, trying to help those who are sick and trying to help the overburdened hospitals, even open up their churches.
Yeah, that's neat to hear historically. And that's, you know, as churches today and pastors, and we have been forced outside of our norm, but I think we need to become very creative if things were to get worse or if there is a next time. But even the current situation, how do we minister? What do we do with that servant spirit, Philippians 2, and reach out to folks?
Well, I think it's challenged us. Okay, if we're not able to meet here like the first century church and we had to sneak around, okay, what will we do now?
Yeah.
I mean, it really makes you think, you know, so it's just interesting that we have this American church philosophy. I guess that's what I call it. You call it the Western, you know, culture. And I believe the same way that we have this American church idea of what the American church is. And we hold to that with just so dearly. And God saying, you know, you can go to church, but if you're not praying and if you're not doing the weightier matters, you know, not that church isn't the weightier matter, but, you know, he said, hey, rend your heart, not your garment. It's easy to show up in a church service and it's easy to say, we're going to have church no matter what,
right,
you know, but it's difficult to say, all right, if the government's hunting us down, what do we do now? We can still walk with God. We can still read the Word of God. We can still meditate on the Word of God in our hearts. We can still assemble together and serve one another and minister. We can still worship together. We've been afforded so many different mediums to be able to use nowadays that they never had. They didn't have that. I just see it as a reason to be very positive. You know, I mean, here's an article. It says, prayer is Sunday's influenza remedy, Billy Sundays. Mm-hmm. And it said, we can meet here tonight and pray down an epidemic just as well as we can pray down a German victory. And he said, the whole thing is part of the propaganda. Then he blamed it on the Germans. But he said, it is up to us to hope and pray. We are always willing to help anything that is for the public good and do it cheerfully. There's nothing drastic in the order where they asked him not to meet. He said, it is issued in an attempt to stamp out this epidemic. All we can do is wait and hope and pray that conditions will improve and the ban be lifted and our meetings continue. I just see that spirit, even great men. And I know I don't follow men, but, you know, I do believe that it's important to look at the outcome of their behavior and the outcome of their choices. And I feel like if we learn from it, it will lead us to make many of the same decisions as far as working with the government for a short period of time. Let's work with them. Let's minister to people anyways, because it's not like we're unable to minister. It's just interesting. Are we more attached to preaching, or giving the gospel can be done in more ways than one? And there's things that you can only learn in the wilderness times of your life. And you can learn how to depend on God. You learn determination, how to push through when things are difficult. You know, you learn how to direction. The directions from God are still the same. Like, our directions haven't changed because there's virus going around. Exactly. Our job is still the same. Our job as ministers, our job as churches. If the government takes over, our directions are still the same. They don't change. You know, so what are we afraid about?
Exactly.
I feel like we could preach a message of hope. We can point even to some of this experience of people back in this day to help give hope. That meme I put out, it says, you know, the government will forget about coronavirus, but it'll never forget about how easy it was to take over, you know, your schools and churches and homes. And, you know, it's like, well, apparently the government does forget, because they did it 102 years ago.
And they didn't remember either.
And they didn't remember that. So it's like, it's just false. You know, those things are not true. And if we look at history, it helps us to know that, you know, speculation-wise, I guess my thought of it is having a good perspective of history is a lot better than, basically, history is a lot more likely to happen than the speculation of the future. The patterns of history are a lot more likely to play out than what all these crazy ideas of what's going to happen. The three main fears, you know, the government's going to take over, the virus is going to kill us all, and the economy's going to crash. Well, it didn't happen 102 years ago. That history will play itself out way more than I trust that somebody's prophecy of the future is going to play out.
Yeah, you know, excellent perspective. I appreciate it. And you mentioned that you got the other video, emergency orders.
Yeah, I've been. I'll roll one out. I haven't dug deep yet. But when did the emergency powers come into place? What were they intended for? What have they been used for in the past? And I really, really try to make a strong attempt at just presenting the history. Like, here's the history. Think what you want.
When you get that completed and your study with it, I'd like to have you come back on.
I'm going to put out a video, probably a couple more videos of the city overviews like I did with Seattle. Then I plan on doing, I kind of went back and forth on doing one about the numbers, you know. But the numbers are so crazy. Like, they change so much. And then statistics can be just warped any which way. I think I'm going to shy away from getting into the numbers game as far as comparing death rates and all that stuff.
Okay.
To me, I'm satisfied that we should take it a little bit cautiously. You know,
sure.
I don't, it's strange to me how in history they kind of didn't take it seriously at first. And we're talking about the Spanish flu. You know, by all means, it kind of started out like this. I do think the other things we talked about, you know, with the government or the hospitals already being maxed out with the flu, and then now you add this on top of it. I think there's legitimate fears they have of maxing out the healthcare system.
Sure.
So, you know, too, the economy fears are, I'm not going to say I didn't think those and say that at the beginning. History just kind of has a way of toning down those fears.
I sure appreciate you, Pastor Brad, giving us information concerning the Spanish influenza, the previous conversations that churches had, and how churches and pastors responded to it, and then also just kind of general overview here on this program.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm glad to do it, and I hope any information that I shared can be a help to somebody else as much as it was to me.
We appreciate you listening into the True Path Talk here today. This is Pastor Jeremy Wilson, and it has been an honor and a privilege to be a host for you in some of the interviews. I'm enjoying it. I hope you are as well. If you'd like to reach out to us on some topics, something you'd like for us to cover, be sure to do that. You can reach us at truepathradio.com with any comments or questions, or just let us know if you're enjoying it. And so we hope it's been a blessing.
Thanks for listening to this episode of True Path Talk. You can reach us at truepathradio.com, and we would love to hear from you with questions or comments.